motions, two for relief from the stay, one to determine lien priority. The bankrupt entity then filed a motion requesting the bankruptcy court to conduct the sale and hire the special entity, EPI, to help conduct it. After all creditors objected to the sale by the court, they all objected to hiring EPI. The court heard the arguments and ordered anyway that we should go forward with a sale through the court. The order of the court setting up the bid procedure.
You objected to the sale, and all the creditors did.
Yes, sir. They objected to the sale and the hiring of the special EPI group. So in the order setting out the bid procedure, the court said clearly that the property was going to be sold free and clear of all liens, with the liens attaching to the proceeds from the sale. And the court then conducted the sale in July, and shortly after that entered an order. And I believe
in one of the orders that the court entered before the sale actually took place, didn't it contemplate that the or state something to the effect that you could have credit bids?
Yes, sir. It did allow for credit bids. You know, the order setting up the bid procedures anticipated credit bidding, but it did not retain jurisdiction over the real property after it was sold free and clear of all liens. It didn't retain jurisdiction to then create a new lien.
The sale occurred on June 24th, and then the approval, I presume, occurred on August 28th.
Well, actually, the order approving is July 24th. That's tab 7 in the record excerpts. Okay. So that order, Your Honor.
Oh, he approved the sale, and then on the 28th, what happened?
In August
28th. I thought that was the warranty deed was issued.
The warranty deed was actually issued and confirmed. So there was an order.
And there was no liens on that warranty deed.
No, sir. And in the order approving the sale, after the sale, it says clearly, this is tab 7, that they're being sold free and clear, and there's no reference in here to retaining any lien or resolving any lien priority.
And that warranty deed was approved by the district court?
Yes, sir.
And it was signed by the estate to I guess, your client. Is that correct?
Correct, Your Honor. The debtor's attorney and the representative of the estate signed it.
And so it passed out of the bankruptcy estate is your claim. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. Before the court ever made any mention of a lien that it might create in the future.
And at that time, it did not retain any jurisdiction on this property. Is that correct?
Correct, Your Honor. There's no language in any order ever retaining jurisdiction over the property.
Now, how about the argument, I guess it's 506C.
Yes, sir. 506C states real clearly that the trustee, and the courts have interpreted that to include the debtor in possession, may recover from property securing an allowed secured claim. Okay. So the language itself indicates that the property can be charged with the cost of the sale, cost of maintenance. And quite honestly, Your Honor, one reason we're here is because there's very little case law on this. I believe that most courts have interpreted it to mean before you have a sale, the debtor needs to ask for a charging order against the property, and that's part of the sale. That didn't occur here. What occurred was...
Let me ask you something here. Has the bankruptcy court at any time before or after the sale entered an order saying that your client has some sort of personal or responsibility to pay this fee?
Well, Your Honor, the order entered in September by the bankruptcy court created a lien against this particular property.
I understand.
Yes,
that.
Sir. Well, and
it created a lien against this the assets that you purchased at the sale with your credit bid.
Yes, sir.
But my question is there any order of the bankruptcy court which says to you, Mauricio Bank, you are responsible to pay?
No, sir. It does not create a money judgment. But immediately after
an order binding you or something. I mean, you may be bound by the lien unless we're unless we set it aside or somebody sets it aside. But apart from that, is there any order saying that you, the bank, must pay this?
No, sir, there's not. But they did begin foreclosing on their lien, which required us to post a bond to prevent us losing a $1 million piece of property for a $30,000 lien. And there was a some certain amount that they were allowed to collect under that lien. So in my opinion, Your Honor, respectfully, I think it's a matter of semantics whether there is or is not an order.
You posted a bond to prevent them from foreclosing on the lien.
Yes, sir. EPI began foreclosing actually through the debtor on the lien, and we had to post a bond to stop that sale and appeal the order that created the lien.
I don't know that you – I mean – If we were to set aside the order of foreclosure, the order to foreclose this lien, then presumably you would have no liability on the bond.
Correct, Your Honor. If I'm hearing what you're saying, if you overturn the order creating the lien.
Or the order of sale, or is there any appeal from the order of sale?
There was no order of sale on their foreclosure proceedings. They just started running the notice in the paper and giving everybody notice, which is the state procedures in Mississippi. So there's no order to sell it under the foreclosure. There's just the lien order saying they have the right to, and they started the process.
What's the condition of your bond?
Well, I assume that if I lose today, we have to pay either out of cash or through the bond itself. I think it secures the cost of this appeal.
In other words, if we rule that there is no, that the bankruptcy court had no authority to enter a lien on this these assets after they were sold free and clear and so on and so forth,
yes, sir.
Does that relieve you from the bond?
I believe that it does, because I will have won on appeal. Yes, sir. I believe it does. I believe that voids out that.
That's my own. I've got one other unrelated question. What do you have any potential liability, or why don't you have it for Quantum Merriwood?
Well, Your Honor, in public policy arguments, it is, as you all are aware, in the bankruptcy court, the trustee and the debtor in possession is normally paid from some percentage of the collection of the assets that they handle on behalf of the bankrupt estate. That's a normal contingent fee arrangement that's throughout the bankruptcy sections. And in this case, the bankrupt and EPI both knew that all creditors object to the fee of EPI. We objected at every stage to it. So they were well aware that they may not receive compensation for advertising this sale. So that would be my argument on quantum merit. But if, Your Honor, there's really only two cases
it would seem to me that your theory is they just came in and gambled. I mean, they were.
Yes, Your Honor.
They were going to accept credit bids.
Yes, Your Honor.
That everybody was going to bid credit, I guess, were almost.
Well, Your Honor, in a sense, they were gambling. Under the agreement, had they actually brought in true bidders that were going to buy it at or close to the value of all the debt, which was close to $3 million, they would have received, I believe, my memory serves me, close to $250,000 for about 45 days worth of advertising. That was their upside risk. Their downside risk was nobody would show up with any real money. We'd have to credit bid, and we'd argue over the fees.
You had a fairly sizable debt. I've forgotten what it is right now.
Close to or just over $2
million. All right.
Yes, sir.
So everybody knows you're going to bid that.
Yes, sir.
You're going to bid that debt, and it. At least it would seem to me somebody's got an arguable case for quantum merit, unless you're going to say that these people are just flat gambling.
Well, Your Honor, I look at it as my obligation to file this appeal. If I didn't file the appeal timely, if I didn't request the relief,
you'd be liable on the bond.
It may be unfair to my client that I made that mistake. And in the same way, the debtor has an obligation to request the court to charge the property as it, under 506C, as it goes into a sale, so all purchasers understand what they're getting into.
This is not the case where they have no avenue to protect themselves. They did have an avenue to protect themselves. They could have asked that there be a lien impressed on this sale ahead of time.
Yes, sir.
The issue, as I understand it, is what happens after you sell the property and you haven't impressed on that lien, impressed on that property a lien,
yes,
to protect payments of these charges and the fees and expenses. I mean, is that yes. Is that correct?
Yes, Your Honor, and to me it's easier to look at if you, instead of see me as a creditor, see me as a third-party purchaser at that sale. If I was a third-party purchaser and I paid $700,000 in cash and walked out the door with my warranty deed, would we be here today? Could the court have created a new lien a month or two later?
Well, I won't tell you, I don't. I mean, I think you're absolutely right. But at the same time, that person, that third-party purchaser putting up money, there is some money there, yes, on which a lien, because it, in the bankruptcy estate, there is money to pay the person conducting the sale. But when you allow credit bids, that's not the deal. And I suppose you can say these people ought to have put in the order of sale, any credit bidder will be presumed to have personally agreed to, if he wins the bid, to pay me or pay the auctioneer. That probably been better to put it in the.
And
if you're conducting the thing and you say credit bid, the guy says, hey, okay, you make it, I'm not going to lie that bid unless you tell me right now. If you win, you're going. That's kind of an awkward.
Yeah,
but I agree, it didn't occur.
But it's even further than that. You know, even though they knew that was a credit bid, the approval of the sale indicated free and clear of any liens, claims, and encumbrances to this prospective successful bidder. It seems to me that you've taken a further step in protecting whoever the future purchaser is. And that's what gets me about this. It's that didn't need to be there.
Well, and Your Honor, we could have, the day after they confirmed the sale, sold the property to someone else, because we had the property free and clear of all liens. What would have happened 30 days later when the judge created a new lien on the property? It was out of our hands and gone down the road to warehouse.
Well, I don't think the judge can prejudice a third party that way. I mean, I think, you know, but we used to hear mandamuses all the time when somebody would get an order of sale that somebody else was objecting to. What set of cycles, they would argue to us, and we would frequently agree, that if the sale went ahead, they couldn't set it aside later.
Yes.
You know, my only concern in your case is that you're a creditor.
Yes.
And so you're part of this litigation.
Yes.
And that's a question mark in my own mind. But on the other hand, I don't know. You know, when it says free and clear of liens, and it's transferred that way, and it passes out of the estate, it seems to me. And then it's kind of a king's X. Oh, sorry, but is it too late? Now, of course, the bankruptcy judge and the district judge says it can't be too late.
Yes, may I respond, Your Honor?
Sure.
I agree that as a creditor, it seems different. But in analyzing when the bankruptcy court's jurisdiction ends to create a lien, it should be the same, because we could have taken the next day and sold the property, and then what would have happened?
Thank you, Mr. McKnight.
Thank you.
Mr. Jenner.
Good morning, Your Honor. Please, the Court, Craig Gino and my associate, Melanie Vardaman, for the debtor. To answer your question, Judge Garwood, Judge Mills, in his opinion, said, yes, bankruptcy judge, you didn't go quite far enough. You didn't enter a money judgment against Borrego. That has not been appealed. That's the last page of Judge Mills' opinion.
Well, Judge Mills got no jurisdiction to do that. Nobody appealed the bankruptcy court's failure to enter a money judgment.
They did not, Your Honor. He did that on his own. That's exactly right.
He ain't got any jurisdiction to do that.
I'm not sure he did, but I just wanted the record to be clear that he did do that. Somebody did say you should enter a money judgment, and he remanded that to the bankruptcy court. Your Honors, when Equity Partners was employed, the bankruptcy judge right then and there and the creditors and EPI and the debtor all said there may be a credit bid in the future. EPI doesn't have an agreement with the creditors about what it'll get if there's a credit bid. So here's what that order said. In the event of a successful credit bid by any of the secured creditors, or in the event of a foreclosure or the collection process, EPI reserves the right to request a fee to which the secured creditors reserve their right to object. So this idea of a credit bid and EPI having a claim was known months before the sale actually occurred.
Mr. Jones, just a minute. But it seems to me they reserve the right, you know, to seek this fee. I presume that is from the bankruptcy court.
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. Now, but once the event occurs that property, real property, passes out of the estate, it seems to me, and you need to correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems to me that jurisdiction of that property has lapsed or has been transferred out of the estate. And you can't then thereafter reimpose some type of lien on that property. Now, if I'm wrong on that, please, you gotta correct me then.
Well, Your Honor, I respectfully believe the court's wrong. Judge Mills and Judge Houston would respectfully disagree with the court. In addition to that hook that I just read in the bid procedures order also said any commission fee or reimbursement of EPI on the debtor's property sold and or for the marketing cost advanced by EPI is reserved for later argument under applicable law, including 11 U.S.C. Section 506C.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how there could be any further reservation or more notice to the creditors. In addition to that,
well, there may be notice to the creditors, but the problem is when you go on and sell it and convey it and you approve that, all without any of that, those are the orders that control. I mean, when you issue a deed free and clear, the sale is approved, that's it.
Not quite, Your Honor, not quite. The sale order approving the sale, remember now, there was some litigation between and among some of the secured creditors in the bankruptcy court. It's in the briefs, in the record. They had an argument about validity, extent, and priority of lien. So in the sale order, the bankruptcy court says that it retains jurisdiction over the lien priority and validity with respect to the assets among and between Borrego Springs and others are the subject of this adversary proceeding and are not adjudicated herein. 506C claims are lien priority claims. That's exactly what they are, because in that scenario, the debtor or the professional is asking the court to leapfrog the existing secured creditors and impose a lien on the property or the proceeds.
But that occurred, you know, that occurred prior to the deed being signed and transferred out of this state. I mean, I understand. Let me put it this way. You have a wonderful equitable argument. No doubt about it. I think as far as notice is concerned, you gave all the notice in the world. But once you transfer a parcel of property free and clear without a lien on that, it seems to me that you can't then reimpose a lien on that property after it's been transferred and it's no longer within the bankruptcy estate, which means it is no longer within the bankruptcy court's jurisdiction.
Ordinarily, Your Honor, as a blanket statement of general law, I don't think anybody disputes that.
Right.
But the claim retention reservation in the bid procedures order and in the sale order.
An order later in time could supersede that. That's the problem. I mean,
sorry, Your Honor.
A subsequent order could supersede that prior order.
It can, but the federal courts retain jurisdiction always to enforce their orders, and the sale order did not say no credit bid. We're doing away with that. We're superseding all the prior orders.
It's it free and clear of any lens, so that there's even if he were to adjust priority of lens, there are no lens left to adjust priority with respect to this property.
Except the sale order, Your Honor, says the lien priority and validity with respect to the assets and are reserved subject of an adversary proceeding and are not adjudicated herein.
But if it's free and clear of all lens, there's nothing left to adjudicate. That's my problem.
Well, in a cash sale, ordinarily, Your Honor, the proceeds are there and everybody grabs the proceeds. Here, the proceeds are the dirt and the bankruptcy court reserved in the sale procedures order as well as in the adversary proceeding. It reserved those rights to adjudicate lien validity, priority, and extent of liens, even though the property was exiting the bankruptcy estate.
How long did that last? How long did the bankruptcy court have the free-floating right to impose liens on this piece of real property?
Until the adversary proceeding was resolved, Your Honor, and that was not resolved until after this.
What is the adversary proceeding? I mean, the adversary proceeding is whose lien is ahead of whom?
That's exactly right. Whose
lien on what?
It was disputes between and among the secured creditors as to whose lien was
on what? Lien on what?
Real estate, machinery, equipment, practically every asset of the estate.
But it's no longer part of the estate.
But the court reserved the right to say who had a right to that dirt, to that machinery, to that equipment.
Who had the priority?
Yes, priority and validity.
And what you're saying is then that a creditor who came in or somebody who came in and bid cash, he was bidding subject to this who had a prior lien?
No, Your Honor. That was the beauty of the retention of this jurisdiction by the bankruptcy court in the adversary proceeding. What the adversary proceeding said was if somebody pays cash, if somebody had paid cash, that cash is in the estate, and we're going to litigate the extent, validity, and priority of liens and claims to that cash. That didn't happen here, as we all know. There was a credit bid, so the bankruptcy court's order retaining jurisdiction over that lien priority litigation reached into this property even after the sale and said,
if there is a credit bid, this is what we're going to do, or just does it say we're not adjudicating lien priority?
Said we're not adjudicating lien priority.
It doesn't say anything about a credit bid, right?
No, you're right. It does not say anything about a credit bid.
So it doesn't say only this is only true if there's a credit bid. What it says is, according to you, that this applies to any purchaser.
I think that's right.
And it doesn't, because if a purchaser came in and paid cash, it wouldn't apply to that purchaser because the deed says free and clear.
It would not. But where you have a credit bid, Your Honor, you don't have cash proceeds for the creditors and the debtor to argue against. You have dirt. And the bankruptcy court reserved the right to adjudicate lien priority, extent, validity as to that dirt.
But then in a subsequent order, it said no more liens. So we've got to interpret that language some way.
No, Your Honor. This is the sale order. This is the order approving the credit bid of Borrego Springs.
But there's a subsequent order approving the sale, isn't it?
Yes, ma'am. It's a subsequent order approving a sale. And it's
free and clear of liens.
But it says, quote, the lien priority and validity with respect to the assets among and between Borrego Springs Bank, N.A., and others are the subject of an adversary proceeding, and it listed the cause number, filed in this court and are not adjudicated herein. So that hook, which would ordinarily have been to cash proceeds, hooked the property, even though that very same order approved the sale to Borrego Springs free and clear of liens, it did not wash away the adversary proceeding, and that jurisdictional hook is what the district court and the bankruptcy court base their jurisdictional finding on.
Well, it seems to me that best you can say out of that is some personal, which I think is what Judge Mills was talking about. Maybe you retain some personal jurisdiction over the bank or over whoever was the purchaser. But the problem with that is that that's not what the bankruptcy court ordered.
Well, it is true, Your Honor, that on the left hand, the bankruptcy court said we're selling free and clear of liens, claims, and interest. And on the right hand, it said, but there's an exception to that, and it's involving this adversary proceeding, specifically involving validity, extent, and priority of liens on the real estate. And since we didn't have cash proceeds, that kept that jurisdictional hook back
there's
into that real estate.
There's nothing in the order that says if we don't have cash proceeds.
I'm sorry, Your Honor?
There is nothing in the order which says if we don't have cash proceeds.
There's not. And this order occurred after the sale. There was the auction and there was the sale.
And then there's the deed which says the bankruptcy estate is getting rid of everything in this property.
It did.
So the only thing you could have left would be some personal liability that could attach, but the bankruptcy court never attached any personal liability.
It did not, Your Honor. It impressed a lien on the property, on the proceeds, the way 506C says you're supposed to.
That's not the proceeds, Counselor.
But, Your Honor,
as 506C says, you press it on the proceeds.
Well,
it hasn't been impressed on any proceeds. It's been impressed on what was sold.
Respectfully, Your Honor, that's exactly right. In a credit bid situation, if the creditor is going to have a right to come in and bid paper or bid debt and not bid cash, what it ends up with, the dirt rather than proceeds, is proceeds. That is the proceeds.
But that's not English, I don't think.
But if the creditor has the right to bid debt and it ends up with dirt, the dirt has to be the proceeds from its credit bid.
If it has a right to bid debt, it ought to be a personal liability because he can turn around and sell it the next day, and somebody who buys it and looks at a deed that says this is free and clear has got to be protected because otherwise bankruptcy sales won't be worth a dime.
They are, Your Honor, except in the situation where the creditor ends up with title of the property.
Suppose the creditor ends up broke, then you say you can come after this property? I mean, the purchaser who looks at a bankruptcy deed that's been approved and says free and clear has got to know that's true. And that's why we don't and never have allowed challenges to sales after they have been completed.
I certainly understand that, Your Honor. But this is not an ordinary sale. This is where the creditor ends up with the dirt itself, and the dirt becomes the proceeds of the sale.
What if there had been an intervening sale to a good faith third party? What would happen? And then the bankruptcy court entered this order.
If it had occurred, Your Honor, before the bankruptcy judge impressed the lien on the property, perhaps Judge Garwood is right. Our only claim then would have been back personally against the Borrego Springs Bank. Maybe that's what Judge Mills had reference to. Because the deed is exactly, as you know, it says free and clear of liens, claims, and interest. Judge Houston's, it had to have been cash, Judge Houston's order reserving rights in the adversary proceeding would have protected creditors' rights on those proceeds.
It wouldn't have been a problem with that because this person who was conducting the sale was obliged to turn that cash over to the bankruptcy court.
That's right.
So it would have never have left.
No, I'm saying what if there had been a credit bid, which is what happened here, and then that creditor had turned around within a week and sold the property to a third party. What happens then? Does the bankruptcy court have the authority to impose this lien? Would it affect that third party purchaser's rights?
Because of the bankruptcy court's reservation in this order, Your Honor, adjudicating.
When you say this order, the pre-sale order or the post-sale order?
The sale order. There really was no post-sale order. There was just the sale order. This is the order where the court approved the auction, approved the sale, the order was not appealed from, and said, but I'm keeping jurisdiction over the lien validity and priority litigation that's already here.
So you're saying that after the bank credited its bid, it could have sold the property to a third party, and then the bankruptcy court could have come behind that and imposed this lien in favor of EPI, and that would affect the third, that would be effective against that third party's rights.
I don't believe that's what the court would have done, Your Honor. I think if the bank...
I'm saying as a legal proposition.
I don't think that the court could have done that. I think
why?
Because that third party purchaser, as Judge Garwood has noted, should be protected by record title. It should be, if there's a warranty deed out there that says that the debtor is obligated to sell this property free and clear, then it should be protected by record title.
In other words, that person doesn't have to go back and search that order, that earlier order that you're relying on. If that earlier order retains some kind of lien that is disclaimed in the deed,
it should have been in the deed.
It should have been in the deed. That's right.
Probably a good idea to go back and read those orders, Judge Garwood, but I don't think that's necessary. I think in Europe, it's a hypothetical, Judge Owen, I think the bankruptcy court would have said to Borrego Springs, you knew when you sold that property I had a hook in you because of the reservation in the adversary proceeding, and now you do have some personal exposure. Didn't happen here because the lien that was imposed by the bankruptcy court.
What happens to the property?
Third-party purchaser takes it. And the bankruptcy debtor's claim then is subject to the creditworthiness and ability of the bank in that situation.
So we really are talking about a personal obligation of Borrego Springs, not the real property.
Not in this situation, Your Honor, because your scenario didn't happen. They didn't sell it to a third party. The sale order was filed one day. The request the very next day was filed to impress a lien on the property and to award a surcharge claim. So
then after that, they went on and issued the deed.
They did in August, and then this decision came along, I think, in September,
right,
by the bankruptcy court, impressing the lien on the property before it was sold to a third party. And Judge Garwood, your issue about quantum merit is addressed by Judge Houston in his opinion, who, in citing the case of that was relied on by Borrego Springs, the Pink Cadillac case, in that case, even though the judge said we're not going to give you a 506C surcharge, we're going to send this back to the bankruptcy court, and you look at this on a quantum merit basis. Judge Houston also said that very well could be a basis for awarding fees and expenses in this case. He did not
do that. He went on and said he was impressing a lien, and nobody, you did not appeal Judge Houston's order and say that you should have awarded us a quantum merit recovery.
We did not, Your Honor. We were satisfied with what he did despite the quantum merit language. I'll be happy to answer any questions, Your Honor. Other than that, that concludes my presentation.
Great.
Thank you very much.
Mr. McDevitt.
I really only have one point that I wanted to make, and it's to kind of emphasize something you probably see and understand, is every hook that they refer to in any order language refers to retaining the right to determine lien priority among the creditors. There's no hook anywhere that retains the right to create a new lien. Every language everywhere retain the right to determine lien priority among secured creditors. We don't dispute that. The court had the right to do that, and ultimately, in the adversary proceeding, it was determined. We don't dispute that.
Thank you, Mr. McDevitt.
Thank you.
I don't quite understand what was, I just want to ask you, you say it was ultimately done in an adversary proceeding. What difference did, I don't understand that at all. Nobody had a lien anymore.
Correct, Your Honor. I'll tell you practically what happened. In the adversary proceeding, there was a dispute among the three creditors as to who had the personal property. There's no dispute over real property and fixtures. And so ultimately, it was settled between Borrego Springs and one of the other creditors, and they worked out their differences.
Was there an order?
There may have been an order ultimately dismissing it, but I think the parties ultimately agreed to everything as far as who got what. I know Brazil Springs got out early, and it continued on for a while longer.
I don't understand that.
Yes, sir.
At all.
Any other questions?
I do. If there's a sale, I mean, is there any jurisdiction over the bankruptcy court after the fact to go back and say, wait a minute, I made a mistake, I need to amend an order, I need to amend something? Is there any continuing jurisdiction for 30 days or a period of time to do that?
I think there was a time period to appeal the order, which either party could have done, which we did. But other than that, I don't think the court retains jurisdiction over the real property, the personal property, once it's sold. So if that's what your question is.
If a week later or 30 days later the bankruptcy court says, you know, I see a problem with this order of sale in the deed, I'm going to go back and amend it. Does the bankruptcy have authority to do that, and if so, how long?
Well, Your Honor, that's a left curve over here, but I believe that it would only be within the 30-day period that a party has to amend a judgment. It seems to me once the property has been confirmed as sold, that the judge's rights would end.
It would seem that that's a distinct issue.
That's the provision we used to take anyway. Yes, when people would,
yeah, it's a distinct
would
issue.
Object to an order of sale. They'd say this you know, creditor, his lien's no good or whatever, and then to appeal to us, we would say if he didn't get a mandamus or something, mm-hmm, or a temporary stay from somebody, maybe come ask for us for a stay, he had lost because even if he were right, once that sale went ahead and occurred, mm-hmm, it was over with.
Yes, sir.
I guess my question is, could EPI come in right after the sale and say, you know, look, there's a problem with this deed and this order of confirmation because it, on its face, looks like it wipes out liens, and I want a lien on this property. And you had the right to do that before you sold it. I want you to make clear that this property goes with my lien. Could they have done that?
I believe they probably could have until the court approved the warranty deed and the transfer of the property out of the estate. And I'm a little fuzzy on the law, quite honestly, between the order issuing the sale and the issuing of the warranty deed, what happens in that window. But I think once the warranty deed is signed and approved and done, it's all over.
Is there an order approving the warranty deed?
I don't know that there was
Council
a separate
opposite
order.
Is shaking her head. She looks like she knows what she's talking.
I don't think there was. I think there was an order confirming the sale, and I think all the parties, and I can't remember if the judge got involved in the warranty deed itself, but all the parties signed off on it.
Signed off on what?
On the form of the warranty deed. And.
But that was on the the sale order.
Yes. So.
You mean the form of the warranty deed was attached as an exhibit to the sale order of sale?
No, sir, it was not. After the sale was issued, it was then created, circulated among the parties, and signed off.
What do you mean signed off?
The debtor signed it. The bank approved the form, and I don't remember whether it went to the court itself for approval or not. But I know there was no order saying this is the right warranty deed.
So, there is?
There's not, no, sir.
There's not.
If no more questions, thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. McDevitt. We have your case under submission. Next case is Keller Foundations versus Wausau.